We are going to read today's scripture, and it's from 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 to 13, on page 297 in your pew Bibles. And I don't know, is it going to be on the screen there? We'll see. Here it is. Good. So, follow along. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be your king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about this, he will surely kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one that I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him, and we will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise up and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. Okay, that's as far as we read today in God's Word. Thank you.
We've been hearing a lot about choices as we have been working our way through 1 Samuel. Choices can be bewildering. I once heard the story of President Obama when he was president of the United States. He never chose what he was going to eat for breakfast, and he never chose what he was going to wear that day, because he said, "A person can only make so many choices, and I have to save my choice-making ability for the important stuff, not for breakfast or clothing styles." I think he's probably right. We have seen choices in these passages. If you remember the beginning of our series, we talked about Hannah and how she had to make the choice about her son, and she chose to dedicate her son to the service of the Lord and to leave him to become a man in the house of worship. Samuel, he was a boy in that house of worship, was called by God in the night, and he had to make a choice to respond. The people of Israel, we learned how they had grown tired of the recurring attacks from their enemies and neighbors, and the transient leadership that would rise up and defend them. And they made a choice to demand a king to allow them to be just like the nations that were around them. And they chose a man. They chose a king, they did. And they chose Saul. And that man, that king Saul, was a complete disaster for them. When he was chosen, the Israelites made their choice based on the only way people can make choices. They looked at all the signs, all the indicators, the exterior stuff. Saul was a big man. He had a kingly presence, towering over most other people. He had that kingly chin. He had that look about him. Said, yeah, look at that guy. You can tell he's a king. He came from a family that had good credentials, a family of standing in the community. And they thought, this is a person who is going to bring us the stability that we crave. On all of these indicators, they made their choice, and they thought they made the right one. But what they couldn't see, what the Israelites couldn't see, was those things that God can see. God can see the heart. God can look into the core of a person and see what is truly there. He can discern the character that lies behind all the masks. That essential person that you are that is behind the facade that we construct all of our lives. This week I was at a meeting in Flamborough out in the country, and the place I had to meet at was down a laneway. And it was really beautiful. The laneway had these majestic old trees lining both sides of the lane, and it's like going down a colonnade, like these trees were standing at attention, welcoming the people who entered the property. Wow, this is really something. But when we were driving down this laneway and we looked at these trees, we started to notice that some of these trees had limbs cut off, and inside the place where those limbs were, you could see rot. And you could see that these trees were actually not healthy. From a distance, they looked really great, really imposing, really beautiful, classic. But you got close, and you started to see that these trees were very damaged things. The Israelites had chosen a king that they saw from a certain distance. God came close enough to see what is the true character, the true state of the inner being of a person. The Israelites chose a king who had wrought well underway. And when Saul was revealed to be the failure that he was, the Lord said, "It is now time for me to select a leader of the people who won't rot them out, who will be acceptable to the Lord for the duration." And so he picked David. David, the youngest son of an obscure man, of an obscure clan, of an obscure tribe. Saul's power was in the north, all those northern tribes of Israel. That's where his power was. David was from the tribe of Judah, in the south, which at that time was very marginal, not influential at all. And the Lord had Samuel go to the back country to find a king. And when he saw David, the Lord liked his core and said, "This is the one." A couple of things, I want to take a step back and just note a couple of things here. First, remember that the reading said that people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's a great truth But did you smile a bit as Wally was reading this? I know I did when I read it, and it caught my attention. The human writer of the book of 1 Samuel can't help himself but get all misty-eyed in talking about the appearance of David. He said, "Oh, David, he was glowing with health. He had a fine appearance and handsome features. He was a looker. Oh, yeah, he's a..." Well, you had just said that the Lord doesn't look at the appearance, the Lord looks at the heart, but the interesting thing is that you can have a good core and still have a good look. It's not like only like ugly people you are selected by God. Sometimes he selects people that actually do look the part. Second, we shouldn't think that what God is looking for is perfection. And I want to stress this because all of us here, if we're honest with ourselves, we would say we know how great our sin and misery is. We know that if the Lord would judge us according to our own behavior, our own thoughts, that we would be condemned. If he would judge us according to our own righteousness, we know that none of us would stand before God. That's true of me, and no offense, but that's true of you as well. But it's also true of David. Though it says that in another part of the scripture that David was a man after God's own heart, David was a broken vessel as well. He was a terribly broken and conflicted man. He was, for example, a compulsive adulterer. He was a man who was a murderer. He murdered a guy who was, by every account, a good and honorable man, so that David could get his hooks into that man's wife. He was a man who, as king, was so disobedient to God that God said, "I have to bring a plague upon the whole nation because of what you have done, David." Wow. He was no perfect guy. So what does it mean that the Lord looked into David's core and liked what he saw? Well, I think I figured out three things that I believe that what this means. Then the first thing it means is that David, when God looked into his heart, saw that David was a man of deep and honest faith. He did know the Lord. David is the king who was also the psalmist. Many of the psalms that are in the Bible are written by him, and these psalms speak deeply and personally and passionately about his relationship with God. In the good times and in the bad, in the valleys and in the mountaintops, in David's best and truest times, he displayed the fruit of a life centered on the Lord. So, David was truly a man of faith. And when the Lord looks into the core of him, he sees faith. Secondly, it's clear to me that David was a man able to discern the calling he received from God and was steadfast in carrying it out. When we look at the story of David, at all of the adventures and misadventures that came his way as he had to deal with Saul, who was the king. Awkward time for David. I mean, he was anointed by the prophet to be king while the other king was still alive, while the other king was still on the throne. And he had to navigate that and, and show due respect for the king while knowing himself called to be king by God. And then he became king and had all these struggles. You read the story of David, man, the trouble he had with his kids. I have never experienced anything like that, and I pray that none of you have experiences with your kids like David had with his. There were times of struggle and trial, times when most people would have said, enough of this, I'm out of here, I'm not carrying on in this hard task that God is giving me, I'm going to just cut and run. But David stayed true to the path that was laid down by God for him. David was true to his calling. And thirdly, David was a man who could confess his sins. There were times when God sent the prophet and confronted him. The story is that he had Uriah the Hittite, that good man, killed, had taken his wife and made that woman his own. And the prophet Nathan was sent to talk to David and confront him and said, you are the man who has taken the only sheep of another. And David said, I have sinned before God. And he humbled himself and accepted the cost of what his sin resulted in. He could humble himself. He could acknowledge his own brokenness and then transform and work for a better day. Now, God made a good choice in calling David to be the king for his people. David knew that he was called to be king, but he understood that he was a servant king, that he was a king who was the servant of the true king, the eternal king, the great king, God the king. And David tried to live that out. I think the higher you get in terms of authority, the higher you get in terms of capacity, the more it goes to our heads. I think it is hard. The Bible talks about how hard it is for rich people to enter the kingdom of heaven. I think it's also hard for influential people to enter the kingdom of heaven. And David, in his world, was the most influential person in the whole realm. And it is so easy to let that go to your head, to start acting as if none of the rules apply to you, that you have the right to do whatever you want. And David said, I am a servant of God, even as I am the king of Israel. Well, David wasn't the only person that God called. God also calls you. And as a person who has allowed or made room for the Holy Spirit to find that place in your own heart, as a person who says truly to the confession that Jesus is Lord, you understand that He is Savior, that He is your hope, and as there is joy in your life, that He is the source and the author of all that is joyful in you. Remember that He calls you. And even though lots of you are really good looking, He didn't call you because of that. And lots of you are super smart, and God did not call you because of that. He called you because He is the sovereign King and Lord of all, and he simply made that choice. He calls whom he wants, and he wants you. But at the same time, as the Lord said to Samuel, the Lord looks at the heart. And for some reason, the Lord has looked into your heart and has liked what he has seen. He likes your heart. Now it is on us to cultivate that which the Lord has created. Now it is on us to make the garden of our lives flower, that we might together become beautiful and bring delight to the Creator. So what this passage is telling us is that we need to develop our faith. To say, yes, indeed, we know the Lord, but we want to know him better. We want to become stronger in our faith to the glory of God. We together should say, because of this passage, that we want to discern the calling that God has given, that we might live out what is the will of God for us, so that we can be as productive in this world as he wants us to be, living out that which is the will of God for us. And this passage is telling us that we should live honestly and humbly before God, confessing our sins and striving together for obedience. Because that is what God is looking for. He knows all that which is broken in us. He knows the temptations that we face, and he knows how we fail. He's not surprised. He knows what is the reality of the world. He says, but just come to me. Be honest with me. Talk to me. And let my spirit infuse you so that you can become stronger and overcome the world. It is possible. It is the will of God. It is indeed the promise of God. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for David, for calling him, for allowing him to become King of Israel, but king under you. We thank you for the callings that you have given to us. We thank you for the faith that you have planted in us. We thank you for anything good that you might see when you look inside of us. And we ask that you grow that your spirit will move in us in such a way, Lord, that we indeed move forward in obedience and bring greater glory to your holy name. Help us. Be with us. Thank you. Amen.